before I'm ready, but you know, tomorrow, so I'm concluding all my writing and all my German thinking to be ready really tomorrow. So that
De Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Dana Vallava Radhani Gopi Dana Vallava Giri Radhani Yasoda nanana braja dhanarandana Yasoda nanana braja dhanarandana Tamuna Thiravana Radhe Tamuna Thiravana Radhe Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Gauranitai. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Shira Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Kaula Nitai, Kaula Nitai, Kaula Nitai, Kaula Nitai. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radhe.
Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Paravraja Kacharya Astata Satasi Simad Satatam Kirtayanto Mam Yatantasya Vrita Drita Vrata Namasyantasya Mang Bhaktya Nitya yukta upasate
Nitya yukta upasate
Satatam kirtayanto mam
Satatam kirtayanto mam
Yatantasya drita vrata
Yatantasya drita vrata
Namasyantasya mam bhaktya
Namasyantasya mam bhaktya
Nitya yukta upasate
Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion.
Ich sage nochmal in deutscher Sprache, ich glaube unser Gentlemen, sind Sie der englischen Sprache kundig oder besser mit der Übersetzung? Dann würde ich vielleicht sogar noch den Gosha Romani bitten, wie sonst auch ein bisschen nach hinten zu gehen. Sachi Kumar, please come a little forward. So, wollen wir vielleicht für unseren Gentleman einen Stuhl bereithalten? Ja, denn ich könnte mir vorstellen, dass es angenehmer als auf dem Boden zu sitzen wie ein indischer Bettelmönch.
Manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he's not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising his holy name, his eternal form, his transcendental qualities, and his uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or a human being. That is devotion. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu and Smaranam, remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadasi, and on the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Transcendental Word. The Mahatmas, great souls, strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is the devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master, and in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari, in any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus become actually Mahatma, a great soul. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskachyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Hare Krishna. Let me again speak this beautiful verse to all of you. Chanting my glories always, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Once, the inhabitants of the village Kuliagram came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They had a question which they thought could be answered only and best by the Supreme Lord Himself. The question they had was, how can we best attain Lord Krishna? Lord Chaitanya answered this question, but some further questions arrived. And next year, when there was an opportunity, the whole village again came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, asking the same question again. Mahaprabhu gave an answer. But again, they were talking about the answer and thinking how to apply the answer in their lives. And while discussing, they came again a third year. How can we best attain you? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answered, "The two things which you should do. Chant the holy names always and serve Vaishnavas." I think we are all aware of chanting the holy name, and we know how important that this is for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it's interesting to note that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would accept invitations to eat at his devotees' home only when they were chanting 64 rounds a day, a minimum. He would not visit the house of other devotees. He was most merciful, no doubt. He embraced everyone, even Muslims, to give them love of God. But as far as eating, he would only go to the house of 64 rounders, men or women. Because he had come to spread the Yuga Dharma of chanting the holy names with love and devotion. And he expected his devotees to accept his gift. Service to the Vaishnavas is the second part of the instruction, which is a little it's something which I want to stress or want to make the subject of my lecture today, service to the Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would often say a verse from the Skanda Purana. This verse says, he who serves the Supreme Lord, it is questionable if he satisfies the Lord. But if someone serves the devotees of the Lord, there is no question. He pleases the Lord 100%. It's interesting, isn't it? If you wish to serve Krishna directly, you may please him or you may not totally please him. Maybe you don't know the taste of the Lord, and so on. But if you serve a devotee of the Lord, or devotees of the Lord, then the Lord will always be pleased. It's a magical formula which always works. With this service of the Vaishnava, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reiterates, as wiederholt, a spiritual formula which is addressed in the Adi Purana. In the Adi Purana, the Lord talks to Arjuna and he says, Arjuna, I want to make one thing very clear, that he who says he is my devotee is not my devotee. But he who says he's a devotee of my devotee, I accept him in that quality of a devotee. Service of the Vaishnavas is so important that it comes before service of God. Those who are dear to the Lord have to be served and pleased by our attempts, and this serves, or let me say, pleases the Lord. Now, very often, we who are escapists from the norms of our Western society, also wir haben ja alle so ein bisschen der weltlichen Gesellschaft oder westlichen Gesellschaft unseren Rücken gekehrt. We think, oh, serving of devotees, is it really so important? I mean, it's very difficult to live together. Hare Krishna. I will just live a peaceful life alone for myself. Worship God. This is enough. It's good. And we have also heard that the spiritual master Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, has said, one who flatters me, he is my enemy. So I should not serve devotees. I should not flatter. It's not good for them. They will maybe become puffed up, or just let me serve God, please. I should smash devotees and correct devotees. This is better than serving devotees. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, we should not flatter each other. But I was just learning something new for me. The same personality who said, he who flatters me is my enemy, most properly because he makes the false ego stand up. He said, when there was a little difficulty amongst devotees, he would get the two contending devotees and request them to sit down before him. And then he would ask devotee A to glorify devotee B. Devotee A and B were quarreling, so A had to say something good about devotee B, from the heart, if possible. So I do not know if you were ever in a situation, Parivadi, where you really had one devotee who somehow the chemical combination did not work exactly. I think you know what I mean, because we are a long time here, and you know how hard it is to praise a devotee. On the seminar, on the Sharanagati seminar, we had said it is equivalent to meditating for one full day under ice cold freezing water, or staying surrounded by five fires in the midday sun. It's so a major austerity, Janaka Mahajan, isn't it? When there is someone who really gets on your chemical combination, who, as we say, der dir wirklich auf die Nerven geht. And it should be truthful, this glorification. So most probably the devotee, I appreciate in devotee A, that he eats prasadam. Devotee A says about devotee B, I appreciate about devotee B that he sleeps in the temple. But just one statement was not enough. They had to say other things. So as they were praising each other in a truthful way, the pent up or stored up resentment or hatred was going down. When you have problems with someone, and the problems become your problem, I mean, you really go, try this little meditation. Sit down and think about the truthful good things which someone does. If you want to be extremely esoteric, you can think and make a line, a common, like almost a telephone line, to a devotee B for blurred. Whom you think is like this. And over this line, you can send him your appreciations from heart to heart. This is for the esoterically minded amongst you, but it's nothing which is a Vaishnava practice as such. It's not mentioned anywhere in Vaishnava scriptures, as to my knowledge. You will see how the moment you connect with someone in sincere praise, the difficulty or resentment which you have goes down. This is really, really, it really works. If you want to have a good Krishna conscious life, it is really important to not only learn to appreciate devotees, but also to practice forgiveness for the times you have been wronged by a devotee. The moment you can do that, you will see that a mountain of problems falls from your heart. I would like to give you the example of a great devotee and his vision. His name is Raghunath Das Goswami. It says, Vaishnavera nintya karma nahi pade kane sabe Krishna bhajan kode e matra jane. He would not listen to blasphemy of a Vaishnava, nor would he listen to talk of a Vaishnava's misbehavior. He knew only that everyone was engaged in Krishna's service. He did not understand anything else. I would really like to read to you from the purport. Although a Vaishnava preacher may sometimes criticize others, Raghunath Bhatta avoided this. Even if another Vaishnava was actually at fault, Raghunath Bhatta would not criticize him. He saw only that everyone was engaged in Krishna's service. That is the position of a Mahabhagavat. So this mood of seeing another person as being engaged in Krishna's service and appreciating this and helping and supporting him is very, very important. There is a statement, this is of particular interest for the pujaris who serve Radha Madan Mohan. It says, if one serves the deity, but neglects my devotee, Krishna says like this, I consider his service like to be like offering of ghee into ashes. If you wish to perform a yajna, you pour the ghee into the flames because you wish to nourish or feed Lord Vishnu. You cannot pour it on the ashes because Lord Vishnu only eats through the fire, not the ashes. So if you wish to serve Lord Krishna, but you neglect the devotees of Krishna, you will not be able to serve him, really, just like you cannot offer ghee into ashes. You must go through the fire. So Vaishnav Seva, I think by now, from these different quotations, is an essential principle. And I would like to bring to your attention that somehow this principle should be brought more to life in our lives, if possible. Sometimes when we hear of service to Vaishnava, we are reminded of a culture in which this service to Vaishnavas was taking place. We are reminded of the paradigms which the culture gave itself, which are becoming which are visible in what is called Vaishnav etiquette. And we think of Vaishnav etiquette, we begin to see this as a very complex matter. It's almost, you know, like, I do not know if you know the culture of dealing with each other is explained in a verb called Knicke, der Anstandsregel. Nowadays people in Germany don't read the Knicke any longer. I had to read it. But there are also different instructions given in our German society how to deal with each other. Just a little while ago, as I was visiting someone, I became totally interested in a little book. It was a red book, Nützliche Anstandsregeln für jeden, you know, helpful rules of etiquette for everybody. And there it was said, you know, when you write a letter, when it's a business letter, you should write in business terms. When it's a love letter, you should write in different terms. You should write this, you know, not in the same way as you write a business letter. And it was, you know, it was explained in great detail what to do and what not to do. And when you come for the first time home, when you're when you have fallen in when you feel great sympathy to meet the parents for the first time, you should do certain things like shaking the hands, I believe, and addressing the person first with a more respectful Sie and not Du immediately. And there were different rules which guarantee that a nice communication can take place. In different countries, different rules have to be applied like this, social conventions. Like in India, if you have really appreciated a meal, you should freely belch. Is this true, Sachi Kumar, or not? It depends on what community you are, most probably. Yes. So it's a little bit more complicated. Not in all circumstances you should freely belch. Correct? But in some circumstances it is highly recommended to freely belch. And in Germany, this simple gesture of appreciation would be totally devalued as something unkind and rude, maybe. Yes. So when we sometimes think of Vaishnava etiquette, we may think, oh, this is very complicated. But it is not complicated. There are not so many rules you need to know. There's just a very simple principle behind all the Vaishnava rules and regulations. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave that principle and by the formula of Das Hos Mi, I'm your servant, Prabhu. I'm meant to serve you. Now this is, of course, only possible if we are having the ornament of humility around our neck. And humility, again, is a quality which comes to someone who is deeply imbibing the essence of human qualities. It's a very interesting what in Vaishnava thought the essence of human qualities is. It is called saralata, or simplicity. Now Prabhupada has in India we know when we say he's a real simple man. It is a very I was in Mumbai and heard this often about me, and in Germany this is considered to be more not really like a praise. It's not what you really tell about someone, he's so simple. it means something. But in India, the word simple means something which Prabhupada has expressed in as straightforward. You know where you are at with this person. He's not overly complicated. Or if he is complicated, at least you know he is the ground on which the person is standing. Saralata, straightforwardness, is a very good quality and elevates a person in spiritual life. He goes to the essence. He's straightforward. Mm-hmm. Now, in devotee association, we know that we actually need to serve devotees, but we also need that devotees take care for us. I was just thinking this. The other days about the Leela of Kala Krishna Das, and how the devotees took care of him. I really feel that this pastime, especially the second part of the pastime, gives such a deep lesson to us, and such an encouraging lesson as well, that it is very heart moving, really, if you think about it. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went for his South India trip, he actually meant to go alone. He wanted to go alone because he was fearing that his devotees were so kind to him that they would always pamper him. Pamper in Deutsch, verwöhnen. And he would fear that he would not give the ideal example of a sannyasi. For instance, there was a devotee, Jagadananda Pandit, who always, you know, he made a bed for him, a nice mattress. When Mahaprabhu wanted to lie on the floor, he made nice oil for him and brought it all the way from Bengal to rub on his head, and Mahaprabhu said, "Please, Jagadananda, use the oil for the oil lamps in Jagannath's temple." And Jagadananda was so offended. He took the whole pot of oil and he just threw it on the floor, bang! And then he went into the room and fasted for 3 days. Didn't come out. He felt so, "Oh, the Lord is not accepting my gift." So Jagadananda Pandit, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really wished to go alone on his in South India pilgrimage, so that he wouldn't have to deal with these loving devotees who would always like to see only the best for him. But finally the devotees were successful to convince him, "You need someone to carry your clothes because your hands are engaged in chanting all the time." Mahaprabhu would go like this and chant like this and use the left hand for counting the rounds. And he would often, you know, throw his hands in the air and sing, "Krishna, Krishna, 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 hey, Krishna, 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 Krishna." And then he would sometimes roll on the ground in ecstasy like a golden Mount Sumeru. Sometimes it is described he would stand for 3 hours in the pose of Lord Krishna. Mahaprabhu, in other words, was clearly not an ordinary traveler. He needed both of his hands for ecstatic purposes. "So you need a man," said his devotees, "to carry your things, and it will be a new man." So Kala Krishna das was picked, and as we all know, unfortunately he fell victim to the women of the Bhattataris. Bhattataris are a gypsy tribe who kept women to allure new men, and in this way increase their membership. So Kala Krishna one day went and did not return. Mahaprabhu came next morning and he gave them respect. He said, "You are sannyasis, I am a sannyasi. Why do you take my servant? We are same. We know, we need, please give me my servant back." But the Bhattataris thought, "We have to, this is a new convert, this is our member." And they began to attack Mahaprabhu with raised weapons. By the power of the Lord, the weapons soon turned against those who yielded them and chased away the Bhattataris. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Kala Krishna, took him by the hair. "Come!" And by the Lord's kind influence, the Maya, which had temporarily covered Kala Krishna Das, desisted. So when Mahaprabhu kept Kala Krishna Das the whole time, when he came back to Puri, he said to the devotees, "Here is your Kala Krishna Das. Listen to the character of this man." And described how Kala Krishna Das had given up the shelter of the Lord, how he had deeply, deeply fallen, and how he had been totally, how he put himself into disgrace, and the, and so on. And Mahaprabhu said, "He is now with you. I have nothing further to do with him. He can go where he wants to go." Now, if we hear the story up till here, we feel great sympathy with Kala Krishna Das, and doubt, is Mahaprabhu the most merciful incarnation? Is he? How he acted so strongly with his servant? But listen to the second part of the story, which is very important and which will make you very thoughtful. Mahaprabhu only externally acted like this. He had to give the symptoms of a sannyasi so that his movement would not be criticized and would spread also amongst those who were looking at these things. Internally, he felt something very different. And his devotees naturally took this mood up. They all sat down, Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, all these great devotees, and said, "What to do with Kala Krishna Das? We have to save him." Kala Krishna Das was crying, obviously. "The Lord has rejected me." And they were thinking, "We have to find a service for Kala Krishna Das. This is just suitable for him." And they were thinking and thinking and thinking. Oh, when they were thinking about Kala Krishna Das, they didn't see any longer. He had, fallen down with some gypsy ladies. They only thought, "Oh, he has been with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He knows all the leelas which the Lord has done." Finally, they found out, "We sent him to Bengal to inform Mother Sachi and the devotees." I'm sorry, I have said Advaita Acharya was there. He was not there. He was in Bengal already. "To inform the devotees, including Advaita Chandra, that Mahaprabhu has returned from his pilgrimage to South India. That he is back in Puri. And obviously they all want to know all the details what happened. Kala Krishna Das will know. And he will say, and he will get the appreciation of all the devotees, the mercy of all the devotees. Imagine, someone would come, we know, if someone was together with Srila Prabhupada, and he comes here to our little community, and he begins to talk about Prabhupada so that our hearts become drawn to Prabhupada. We would give him so much respect. Take some prasadam. Take some rest. Take sufficient amount of donation for your travel expenses and come back again soon. We want to hear more. So Kala Krishna thus was put into a service which would give him a maximum amount of appreciation by the Vaishnavas of that period of time period in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And in this way, he glorified the Lord from morning till evening. He became blissful, his heart became purified, and his life was very glorious. My dear devotees, we need Vaishnavas who intervene for us, intervenieren, who take our case, who serve other Vaishnavas. Otherwise, we can't make it. Imagine, Kala Krishna was in the personal association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was not in an insecure position. He was not schlecht situiert, badly situated in his life. He was really in a position where he could make it in Krishna consciousness. Do you agree? Even he needed the help of devotees. So this service to Vaishnavas is so very important. Otherwise, it is questionable if we can maintain our enthusiasm and determination on the spiritual path. So I think you can understand now better from this Leela and the story why Mahaprabhu was so much putting value or stressing the service of the Vaishnavas. Let me see. There is a very nice song that, oh Vaishnav Thakuras, please, you are dear to Krishna, please talk about me to Krishna in a good way. I need your intervention. I need that you are doing something on behalf of me. Now, Vaishnava Seva is nice to talk about, and you can see I'm becoming even enthusiastic just to speak about these exalted concepts. I also know that this concept is sometimes challenged when we deal with devotees who are not exactly, let me say, always on the purified level of Krishna consciousness or and so on. See, to serve Vaishnava, it needs to be done according to the relative positions of Vaishnavas. When someone needs your help and instruction, so you deal differently than someone who is much superior to you. I think we have talked about this in previous discussions, and we have also heard many lectures to the effect how to deal with Vaishnavas on their different levels. You know, we should help instruct and guide and be merciful to those who are younger or maybe not as advanced. We should make friends. with devotees on a similar level of advancement, and we should serve the greater devotees. All this is Vaishnava service. Jiva Goswami says, for instance, for the second level, to show kindness, Jonas, to a devotee is Vaishnava service. You know, when you have a friend and you're kind to the friend, you bring him a present, and Vaishnava service. To instruct someone lower is Vaishnava service. To run with articles of service to an older devotee is also Vaishnava service. Here I just want to say, I want to give an example how which might make a little bit clear how you can overcome your mood swings when you are convinced of a higher principle. See, sometimes we do not like to serve devotees so much because we may be in a certain mood, and we may even be disappointed and so on. But I want to request you to please consider this example. When a person who is in need of money is engaged in, let us say, a waiter service, kellner, konoba service, or waiter, kellner, he doesn't really mind what is the quality of the person he serves the meal. He knows there will be, I will earn my rent, or I will earn enough money that I can feed my hungry family. And he will not ask these questions. So I would request you to consider this point. When you are in need of Krishna's mercy, you know, I need to be a servant of the Vaishnavas. Even, you know, when there is someone who's not exactly your style or your gang art, you should nevertheless serve him, because a higher principle is there. You can gain the mercy of Lord Krishna by serving Vaishnavas. And this should give you fortitude, also es sollte dir ein bisschen Energie geben, in times when there is a mood swing or you're not feeling to serve Vaishnavas in a very nice way. It will help you to see, just like a person who is prepared to do maybe not everything but quite a lot for money, because he's a needy person, you should do something nicely in the service of Vaishnavas, so that you can get Krishna consciousness. I would like to end this class with making one nice little point. Krishna's mercy, there's the ultimate book. Have you seen this book? It's, wow, it's so heavy. You really feel like training to hold this book. It's the new Krishna book. And I wanted to read you a little thing which I read this afternoon. Kali, or the age of quarrel, is sure to sabotage our attempts to serve Vaishnavas in a Vaishnav community. He will do this in many ways, and I don't think it is very elevating to hear examples, but it is described when quarrels or misunderstandings about Vaishnavas or different opinions about Vaishnavas become an impediment to this principle of Vaishnav service. You must know that Maya has attacked. Or if you want to be more specific, this quarreling amongst devotees represents a forest fire. There is a very nice episode here in the Krishna book where once the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, went with his devotees out into Braj, and the boys, cowherd boys, had followed their cows into this Munjatavi ground. I do not know if some of you have gone from
Radhakund to Suryakund.
If you go both ways, either the foot ways where the snakes go and the sadhus, snakes and sadhus, this is not a good combination. I mean, you know where everyone who goes naturally goes. That's one way, and there is a road. I hear they built now a road so that you can go by car in 5 minutes from Suryakund to Radhakund. Hare Krishna. So there are on the way, both on the street and on the sideways, these long, long, tall grasses which have these white bushes. They really look long. When you go through there, you really feel like in your childhood, like a little ant on a lawn or so. They are very high and very, very easily inflammable. They burn very good. They are usually very dry and so on. So the cowherd boys had just gone into such a situation when this demon came and lay fire. He somehow transformed himself into fire and burnt them from all sides. They became so totally frightened that they began to look towards Balaram, Krishna, and Krishna the way a dying man looks at the picture of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can you imagine this? When you die and you look, oh Krishna, you look longingly, oh please, please now remember me. And from then you give up the body. So this is a very intense scene. They said, my dear Krishna, my dear Krishna, you and Balaram are very powerful. We are now burning from the heat of this blazing fire. Let us take shelter of your lotus feet. We know you can protect us from this great danger. Our dear friend Krishna, we are your intimate friends. Listen how they say to him, it is not right that we should suffer in this way. We are all completely dependent on you, and you are the knower of all religious life. We do not know anyone except you. So they really appealed to Krishna. They said, it's not fair. We should not die like this. We are your friends. You know, you're a religious man. You know what to do. The Personality of God had heard the appealing voices of his friends, and casting a pleasing glance over them, he began to answer. Do you know how he spoke to them? Didn't speak with his voice. The text continues. By speaking through his eyes, he impressed upon his friends that there was no cause for fear, and he assured them, don't worry. Then Krishna, the supreme mystic, the powerful personality of Godhead, immediately swallowed up all the flames of the fire. The cows and boys were thus saved from imminent danger. Out of fear, the boys were almost unconscious. But when they regained their consciousness and opened their eyes, they saw that they were again in the Bandira forest with Krishna, Balaram, and the cows. They were astonished to see that they were completely free from the attack of the blazing fire and that the cows were saved. They secretly thought that Krishna must not be an ordinary boy, but must be some demigod. I think some of you know that when Krishna swallowed the forest fire, he had told his friends, please close your eyes first. So when they woke up, when they opened their eyes again, the forest fire was devoured, but they were in a different area altogether. They expected to be amongst the ashes of the burnt down munya grasses, but they were under a beautiful banyan tree in Bandiravan. Krishna had transported his friends to that tree, which served as a meeting place between Krishna and his friends. The tree had long branches which went all over the Yamuna, and his friends would often climb on these branches, cross the Yamuna, and then meet Lord Krishna under the shade of that banyan tree. And Krishna brought them back there. I must tell you that as I was preparing to come to the lecture, I received a very, very exciting phone call. There were devotees who were quarreling with each other, and I became worried also. But then I read this pastime, and I understood Krishna can take care of this forest fire if we turn to him sincerely. So when there is a problem amongst devotees, turn to Krishna. Remember this pastime, meditate about it, pray to him in the same way. It's not fair that we should suffer like this. It's so unpleasant. Please, we are all completely dependent on you, and you are the knower of all religious life. We do not know anyone except you. You have to take care of us now. This is how devotees turn to Lord Krishna, so that they can keep on this principle of Vaishnav service, even in the eyes of differences of opinion. This is such an important service, such an important value to serve Vaishnavas, that it must work. It's our chance, and if we sincerely come to this, it's very, very nice. I can tell you from my own personal experience, although, as many of you know, I'm suffering from arrogance and pride and all these bad qualities due to my unfortunate birth. I really have faith in this as a person, that when I try to serve devotees by humbly trying to elevate them in their Krishna consciousness, or just by taking baths for them in the Ganga and so on, immediately there is a feeling of, oh, very good, you're now feeling great relief in the heart. It is really a wonderful principle, which if you make it work, it really engladdens your life and makes you very, it somehow attracts the mercy of Krishna and also of other Vaishnavas. But the moment one forgets that one is a servant of the Vaishnava, it's very unfortunate. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if I think I am a Vaishnava, or versa, if I think I am a guru and deserve the worship, as a Vaishnava or in other positions of others, it is a very, very bad for a spiritual life. Better to serve Vaishnavas in a humble way, and when it's difficult, pray to Lord Krishna that he helps the fire to go down. The fire of Kali Yuga, so that it's more easy for you to serve. Yes. Hare Krishna. So I think I have talked about a few points. It's obviously, an involved subject matter. But I really want to request the members of my audience this evening to think about this point and make it work for you. Ultimately, Krishna consciousness means to put spiritual principles into one's life. It's not a matter of scholarship. I think we are all reminded of the story. This comes from a different tradition of the Sufi, who learned in a Sufi school all the rules and regulations of how to pronounce the names of God. It's a practice called Dikri. In the Sufi tradition, they chant the names of God from morning till evening. With the ingoing breath you go "Hu," and with the outgoing breath you go "Allah." Allah. Sashikumar, please don't feel that this, you don't need to do this. We'll stay with Hare Krishna. Yes. And so he had this one Sufi had learned this and other techniques very well, and was on his way home with a nice, he was driving on a boat. Now it is said in the Sufi tradition, if you chant the names of the Lord properly, you will be so absolutely inspired that you will develop love of God, and you will, the Lord might, if he pleases, give you one of the perfections like walking over water and other such things. So this man was, you know, knowing about these benefits. He had not experienced them, but he was a scholar. So he was going back to his village. He was rowing down the river when he passed by a river, an island, and he heard someone chanting the names of God. Oh, he's doing a mistake. The pronunciation is not right. How will he get the fruit? So I will compassionately help him. And he went on the river, on the island, and he saw a very old man chanting. And it was not very technically paka. So he went to the old man and he said, "My dear old man, you are not pronouncing the names properly. I just come from the school and I can teach you." Oh, is it? Please stay and teach me. Because he was so old, the old man, and you know, old men have long-standing habits. the Sufi told him, stayed with him for 6 months. And then he thought, now he knows. So he went, he said goodbye, the old man cried, "Stay more, no, I have to go to my village." And he went down the river. All of a sudden, he heard something with his right ear. "Please, just, I have one more question." And the sound came closer. "One more, please, something has escaped my attention." And he looked back and he saw the old man was running over the water. "How was it? This Al-Rahim, is it correct?" Al-Rahim means the all merciful one. "Yes, it's correct, Al-Rahim. The way you say is very good pronunciation." "Oh, thank you." And he went back walking over the water. So bhakti is similar. It's not a matter of so much this learning or that learning. It's a question of the devotion in the heart and the love in the heart. And knowing a few essential spiritual principles, one of which is serving the Vaishnavas. So I wish you all the best, and may you soon run over water without sinking by applying such a powerful spiritual principle. You might like to try it with someone who is close by you, who is where it is easier, and as you do this, slowly enlarging your circle of cooperation or service to others as well, so that you can then feel this principle and please Lord Krishna. Mm-hmm. So Hare Krishna, I want to just see now if there are a few brief questions, and then I will say something short in a personal announcement. Shachi Kumar.
Sometimes in the course of dealing with the Vaishnavas, one's intention is to serve them, but maybe due to difference of opinion or some misunderstanding, then there's so much tension and one feels quite
discouraged, maybe.
So how to get with this type of situation or to make a relationship good amongst devotees?
Yeah. Well, Sachi Kumar asked that sometimes there are discouraging situations and there's so many different opinions and one may not be able to render his service. How to deal with this situation? All I know is you will have to apply a very common sense of dealing. When there's, you may have to sometimes go a little bit in the distance. The difficulty is that in the distance you take your feelings, you take them with you in the distance, and and they begin to get alive. Like a Frankenstein, and move all around your mind. I do not like this person. Why was this misunderstanding there? Why did it come like this? I think about this, you have to be very careful that you don't meditate about the seemingly bad qualities of another person. If you do, you will inherit them very soon and have the same mentality and the same thing. At that time, you have to practice the art of forgiveness from the distance. And it may not be possible to work together. You do wonderful service, Sachi Kumar, by flooding us with the nectar of the Radhanath Maharaj tape ministry, and all over the world, the tape ministry echoes and so on. Yes, also by the service of our enthusiasm personified, Malati Manjari. Now you have given a serious challenge to me. I have to learn the art of MP3. I don't even know exactly what this is, but you have assured me that it's simple. I wanted to now make a comment in passing. I'm Janaka Mahajan. I should have introduced him. Janaka Mahajan, who sits here, that devotee is, he's the temple president from our temple in Estonia. And He has done a wonderful service. I visited the temple once and saw what they have a very old historical building in the midst of Tallinn, right in the midst. You can go on Harinam by just going out of the temple door and you just sing and you are in the you are there. It's the Harinam place. It's a wonderful place. I don't know if you know that Estonia is part of the European what is it, community, or is soon becoming part. He's building this temple. Now I heard it's like a Baustelle. It's all broken down to be put up nicely. They have the old altar of Zurich, and I mean, it will be so decorative and so wonderful that you all must visit Janaka Mahajan. He's a very nice devotee, and he is so kind to accompany me through the airport that I don't get lost anywhere. And so on. We will fly together. And another person whom I met in Cologne, we were preaching in the university, and I said to that person, he's a very nice person, come with us to America, and he immediately agreed and bought a ticket. He will also come with us. He's a very, very nice, spiritually evolved person. He will meet us in Frankfurt. So we will go. I have looked just today a little bit on my schedule for the year, and I have noticed I'm not so often in Germany this year. Some of you have also noticed that. I really want to assure you that I'm taking a neuen Schwung, that I'm taking. I don't intend to leave my preaching in Germany, although it's much easier in the foreign countries, you know. Ein Heiliger gilt nichts im eigenen Land. Not that I'm a holy man, but the moment you step over Germany's border, you have very exciting preaching programs. it's somehow like this. I'm just taking a new schwung, from next year on, I'm planning really to give a major input. It's not that I'm saying this just to say something nice in parting. I've really arranged my schedule already accordingly, and more than that, my psychology accordingly. I think you all know that in spiritual life we all are addressing deep questions in our journey towards the Lord. And it is very clear to me that my place is Germany. Prabhupada even wrote this in a letter to me. And I'm very hopeful that we can do nice, wonderful things. I mean, this last tour which I did, Sadanandi and Yamunaji have organized this tour in cooperation with Gaura Krishna and other devotees from Cologne. And it was such a nice tour. I mean, the universities are just so open for spiritual life. You can't believe it. I talked today with Gadatta about it, and it's just amazing how, you remember in Cologne, what a wonderful atmosphere. I was surprised myself. I just told the students, I'm so enthusiastic in your association. I mean, I just like this very much. Thank you. I was profusely thanking my audience for being such a nice audience. And I really want to encourage all of you to please. I hope soon we will be in a mood of just happy, joyful preaching here in Germany again. Good signs on the horizon. Please be part of it, or be sympathetic to it at least, if life circumstances put you in situations where you prefer to visit festivals and not arrange them so much. I also want to request all of you that we please think already now about Jamashtami and how we can make it a nice offering of love and devotion for Radha Madan Mohan. I think if we can focus already our minds now on how to make it beautiful for the deity's pleasure, that this will be very important for our project here. Schönes Geburtstagsfest für den Herrn. Yes. So I want to thank you now all. It's a little late, 9:30. Please pray for me. It's not so. Someone said to me, "Hab viel Spaß in Amerika." And I went, "Fun?" And then a melody came up. "America, you ugly star. America, you ugly star." And so on. I'm not going there to have fun. I'm going to meet a friend. This is the reason why I go to America. And to get some spiritual support, and new perspectives for a very intense time of devotional service, which comes after that. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry for this song. This is not in the Vaishnava or Hare Krishna dictionary. It comes from my own European perceptions. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.